This is test for making audio files of book, Aldebaran, contacts with people from another solar system, the sensational experiences of the Faisal family by Jan van Helsing. Originally published in 1997. Hear Google translation from scan of book. Please note that scanning errors may be here, which may also result in the translation into English being incorrect. Hear for A4 format. We dedicate this book to all our brothers and sisters who volunteered to take part in this operation in order to help as many people on Earth as possible in the coming transformation. But above all, we dedicate it to our children, whom we will soon bring to Earth to help build the new world. With greetings from Aldebaran, Arkan, Rodon, Siwa, and Ino. Acknowledgements. We thank Marcus Stronsky from the bottom of our hearts for his experience and report, which has once again confirmed our own events. Also Mr. X. For allowing us to include a small part of his vast knowledge in this book to bring us one step closer to the truth. We would like to thank Dr. Henning Alberts and his partner for the regressive hypnosis sessions that gave us further insights and for his therapeutic explanations in the appendix. And Franziska Lischka for her beautiful and expressive poem. And of course we would also like to thank everyone else who supported and helped us in any way and those who encouraged us to go public with our experiences. This also includes Jan, whose entry into our lives really got things rolling. Karen and Raina. My first impression, dear readers, don't you sometimes feel like you no longer know what to believe and what not to believe given the large number of books that deal with the UFO topic? What is true, what is real information and what is deliberate disinformation? How do you filter out the truth from the rest? What is channeled, what is physically experienced? Are the extraterrestrials smaller and grey? Are they tall and blonde? Ugly or beautiful, well disposed towards us or not, or are some of the UFO occupants perhaps not extraterrestrials at all? Who can see through all this? Well, the whole subject of UFOs is still a matter of speculation for many, but I think that at the latest through the publications of authors such as Eric von Daniken, the wider public has heard something about contacts between extraterrestrial intelligences and various cultures on Earth. And probably also in connection with their history. And especially since the 1940s, this subject has become more explosive for most people because, in contrast to the previous information from dead books, there are said to have been the first sightings, physical contact and even crashes of such flying objects. The masses are slowly being prepared for confrontation with reality through increasingly frequent series about extraterrestrials, such as the so-called Roswell crash. But it is precisely with these newer contacts that the crowd of those who are more or less concerned with this topic is split into two camps. The big secret, or rather the explosiveness of the UFO topic, is not hidden behind the question of whether UFOs exist or not, but WHO actually flies them. Let me explain this a little. I saw my first flying saucer when I was a child and of course I asked myself back then what the pilots in it might look like. While searching for books on this subject and people who claimed to have been in contact with such UFO pilots, this was at the end of the 1970s. One thing struck me clearly, namely that the descriptions of the contactees were extremely similar. In almost all cases, the UFOnauts were 1.80 to 2.30 meters tall, beautiful, almost angelic people, with either dark or blonde long hair, blue or green eyes, and above all they had another thing in common, they spoke German, or at least the language of the country in which they had landed, with a German accent. Even more intensive research then took me back to Germany after the First World War, where, according to eyewitness reports and documents, there was a very lively exchange with these extraterrestrial people. When I spoke to such UFO contactees and interested people, it turned out that it was precisely these characteristics that had triggered the greatest fascination in them, namely the human appearance, this above-average beauty and the love that these visitors were said to have radiated. apart from the fact that these of course also had corresponding messages for the contactees had help with the spiritual development of earthly humanity and support with the coming upheavals at the turn of the millennium. What upheavals? One or two readers may ask themselves at this point. These are the following circumstances. Our solar system rotates in an elliptical spiral orbit around a central sun, also called the Black Sun. Such an orbit is called a Platonic, cosmic or sidereal year, with a duration of around 26,000 years, but physically and astronomically it is referred to as the precession of the equinox. This orbit and its overarching cycle has been divided into the 12 signs of the zodiac since ancient times, and each of these corresponds to an aeon or world age of 2160 years each. When a solar system moves away from the Black Sun, which can be seen as the spiritual source of power, on its elliptical orbit, development on the planet slows down. This is also referred to as falling into sleep. You could also symbolically see it as a movement away from the light source, with it getting darker and darker from then on. At the moment we are moving from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius in our orbit, which means that we have now passed the point of furthest distance from the Black Sun and are now moving back to it and our source of power. During this movement back to the symbolic light source, a recurring frequency occurs and an associated increase in consciousness among the living beings of the planets, which has been known since ancient times as the phase of awakening. This phase is also associated with enormous changes, changes in the consciousness of beings as well as changes in the magnetic poles of the planets, which can lead to earth cataclysms, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, floods, the rising and sinking of land masses. These changes in the earth's magnetic field, which are due to the increase in frequency, have already been observed enough. For example, the atomic clocks have had to be adjusted several times in recent years, and time has therefore also accelerated. And it was precisely in this phase, the contactees said, that the tall human extraterrestrials wanted to help us. But in the mid-1980s, the whole UFO issue suddenly changed when more and more reports came out of the USA about little gray men who were supposed to have signed a contract with the US and the shadow government. That is the people behind the politicians, on the basis of which these greys would carry out experiments and operations on us humans. Suddenly, we hardly heard anything about the beautiful, human visitors that people were starting to talk about more and more at that time. One film after another came out of Hollywood and seemed to give us the impression that the UFO occupants were ugly grey beings or other negative beasts that, as shown in the Hollywood film Independence Day, could still be used for our atom bombs. Where have the human-looking extraterrestrials suddenly disappeared to? Or are they still there? Why do we no longer hear or read anything about these visitors, who look so similar to us and whose relationship to us seems to be very obvious? Is it possible that they are a thorn in the side of our governments and the like? If so, then the question is why? And what role do the mass media, the so-called critics from the scientific side and above all various UFO researchers play in the disinformation, who specifically avoid reporting on anything other than evil gray men, a face on Mars photographed 25 years ago or ancient artifacts from Egypt? What and above all who is behind it? How can it be that all the negative information comes from the USA? Why did so-called negative aliens cooperate with the USA and the human-looking aliens, as other UFO lies claim, with Germans or Swiss? Why not the other way around? Many explosive questions. Apart from these, one can say that today's UFO scene is divided roughly between the little grey men and the large human visitors. Well, I myself have reported on both groups in my previously published books. Nevertheless, it was still a more or less loose band of information. Many pieces of the puzzle were still missing. I asked myself the question, if these extraterrestrials, who are supposed to be our ancestors, had actually made direct contact with Germans 50 years ago, where are they today? Is the contact still going on and are there perhaps new ones? Contacts? Well, In February 1997 the time was obviously ripe to find out more about it, because I met the Algau couple Karen and Reina Faisal at the UFO World Congress in Zurich. And what they brought to light about their contacts with extraterrestrials, their hypnotic regressions, but also the transmedia contacts from the time after the First World War is certainly unique in this form. It not only matches my information, and also information that I have not yet published, but also adds a few new pieces to the puzzle. It suddenly connects the little gray ones, the big human extraterrestrials, the events in the past with those in the near future. And all this in very simple words and with a lot of understanding and love. That was also the point that made the bells ring for me. It is not the usual scaremongering or pure sensationalism, it is a simple and clear message. Without a lot of theory or philosophizing. The Faisal family themselves have taken a sober and at the same time direct stance on all their experiences. Either you believe them or you don't. They are not angry with anyone for not wanting to accept what they have experienced as their reality. Even if they are laughed at or insulted. Their concern is not a mission, a new doctrine of salvation or anything like that. They simply want to pass on what they have experienced and learned over the last few years. What each individual makes of it is up to him or her. Was page 16, in the book. In the first chapter of this book they describe to us how life slowly brought them closer to the truth and their personal fates in connection with these extraterrestrials. They reveal a great deal of knowledge to us, but above all their words convey understanding, courage, hope and strength to deal with this and other information more consciously, so that every reader can find his or her truth for themselves and use this information constructively for themselves and integrate it into their lives. But there is something else about their statements. When I read Karen and Reina's personal story for the first time, I got goosebumps one after the other. Things that I had gathered from many years of research all over the world, from Secret Service agents and Lodge brothers, from spiritual mediums, other extraterrestrials and my higher self, I found here in very simple and understandable words. In addition, parallels and similar experiences in my own life came to light, which showed that this must have been more than just an aha moment. Apparently I am connected to this Aldebaran company myself. And I am convinced that this book will trigger similar effects and memories in many readers. But now I don't want to keep you in suspense any longer. I would just like to ask you to always listen to your inner voice while reading and what impulses it gives you. Feel your way into the information, feel between the lines and sense whether all of this or parts of this scenario have anything to do with you. Think back to your childhood, to strange experiences that happened to you in your life, illnesses, accidents, strange encounters. Try to recognize connections, but always pay attention to your inner voice. It will immediately tell you yes or no to the information, whether you have any connection with it or not. You may feel strange when you hear one or other of the report, and perhaps even feel a little afraid. In such a case, this could be an indication that you have resonated with such an experience. That you may have experienced something similar yourself. But your subconscious does not yet want to release this information. In such a case, I would like to ask you to read on, because the members of the Faisal family went through similar experiences, but have since confronted them and transformed them into power, and are helpful with their explanations. If one or the other reader should still feel fear, we have added two chapters in the appendix for such cases that deal with the topic of fear, one of them by Dr. Md. Henig Alberts, who has already treated over 20 patients with the so-called abduction syndrome in his practice and also gives lectures on this topic. Look back again at how you came across this book, at the circumstances. Remember the feeling that overcame you, that made you buy the book, or that overcame you when you held it in your hands for the first time. All of this has to do with the content. Just turn off your mind, which may not want to accept various pieces of information, allow your feelings and follow your impulses. With this in mind, we now want to embark on a new journey, the outcome of which we will determine ourselves this time. Introduction. Haven't you ever thought about what an alien, a pilot of a flying saucer, might look like. If we assume the perfect, aesthetic, harmonious and fascinating shape of these flying saucers, the occupants would logically have to have a corresponding sense of beauty, technical form and perfection, otherwise they would hardly be able to design such flying objects, not to mention the propulsion. If we compare the round, feminine shapes of the UFOs with the pointed military machines of the Earth, stealth bombers, a difference in development is hardly overlooked. And isn't it also fascinating about the idea of extraterrestrial life that one day a saucer could land in the English garden, a beautiful man or woman could get out of the vehicle and invite you on a trip to their home planet? The idea that UFO pilots look like us is not so far-fetched. If we assume the laws of nature and the latest scientific findings, the life forms on a planet that has the same climatic and atmospheric conditions as Earth would also have to look largely the same. Just as the animal species in a jungle in Indonesia are similar to those in a jungle in Brazil, it is the same laws of nature that keep all the planets in the universe in their orbits, that have shaped planets round. One planet may be a little smaller than another, but it is subject to the same laws of nature and so is the life on it. It seems obvious that life on an Earth-like planet would also be similar to ours, but the size of the inhabitants of the other planet would differ from that of Earth humans due to the orbit of its moons, its distance from its sun and the corresponding magnetic and atmospheric forces. It has also been found that people have not only become larger over the last few centuries, but also, again, more aesthetic. One could therefore assume that extraterrestrials who are able to develop such a vehicle are also highly developed beings, at least humanoid, if not even beautiful and noble in nature. Such assumptions are of course purely hypothetical at this point. But these are not just our thoughts. Hollywood directors also gave the UFO occupants of the first science fiction films a large human stature, as in the science fiction classic The Day the Earth Stood Still. It is only in recent years that the fantasy pilots have changed in their appearance. From slimy creatures to beasts and big-headed aliens, we find a wide range of frightening and terrifying UFO nauts. What does this mean? Well, just observe yourself. How would you react if a beautiful being emerged from the UFO? With shining eyes, long flowing hair and an indescribable smile, you would be fascinated, wouldn't you? And when you hear the stories of small grey beings with insect-like eyes that perform surgical operations on us and implant microchips in our brains or slimy monsters that want to take over the Earth, you would of course be put off. After such a film, does interest in contact with extraterrestrials or the interest in UFOs increase or decrease? Well, I would say that it decreases. After this realization, the logical question is who gives the order that such and not other films are produced? Don't you also think that there is a method behind this? Could it be that someone is not interested in people seriously considering this issue? Shouldn't they rather spend their days working, playing football and raising their children? Well, as already briefly mentioned, the first recent contacts with extraterrestrials, from the 1920s to the 1970s, were, if we fully believe the contactees, very beautiful encounters with such noble and at the same time extremely beautiful human-like visitors who fascinated the contactees from the very first moment with their radiance of love, dignity and strength. Why aren't films made about these encounters? Like, for example, about the cases of George Adamski, Billy Mayer or Reinhold Schmidt, who were also claimed or continue to claim to have had personal and physical contact with human extraterrestrials and even to have flown with them. During George Adamski's contacts, witnesses were present several times when the saucers landed and he was able to present countless photos and film recordings on which these saucers can be seen in great detail. Well, because people would be excited, fascinated by the thought that there could be something better than McDonald's, the Bundesliga, the increasingly empty churches or the increasingly powerful computers. And the contactees were just as moved by these extraterrestrials as a believer or a child is by the thought of so-called angels. Why? because these extraterrestrials radiated something that angels are also supposed to radiate, if we believe the people who claim to have seen them. They radiate warmth and security, something understanding and protective, just like a real angel. Have you ever heard of an angel being ugly? Maybe even bald? If you were to tell a believer that, for example, when Mother Mary appeared in Garibaldi she was seen as a wild creature with shaggy hair and piercing eyes, he would certainly lose interest in it after a very short time. The fascination with such apparitions lies in the fact that through their appearance, their noble appearance and their wise words they inspire hope, strength and courage in the believer, the strength to practice love and forgiveness, and the courage to work for a better life, starting with oneself. There seems to be a strategy behind this, that angels are relegated to the realm of childish fantasies and that, according to Hollywood, aliens have nothing better to do than conquer our planet. Because angels and aliens have something in common, they are dangerous. Dangerous for the churches, the governments, the banks, the car manufacturers, the oil multinationals, the mafia, the insurance agencies, the arms industry, certain book authors. All of these people have absolutely no interest in people dealing with aliens. Children should buy Barbie dolls and video games, ride skateboards, sit in front of the television and later consume as many drugs as possible, because you can make a lot of money out of that. Adults should keep themselves busy with politics and other serious topics and get into as much debt as possible so that they are sure to have to deal with them for long enough. Because, as already mentioned, someone who deals with aliens asks dangerous questions such as, if there really are aliens who may have visited us in prehistoric times and we may be their descendants, what is the use of the story of their origin in the Bible or the Big Bang hypothesis? And what are the people who hold such an opinion? What would be the meaning of my life then? The question of where from and where to would suddenly take on a completely different flavor. What is God anyway? And who are the people who deliberately distract us from such thoughts every day, for example through the mass media? Why do they do that? What is their motive? What is their goal? What role do I play in the lives of the magnates and multinationals who now hold the world in their hands? None. So why do I still listen to them, buy their products and support them? Why do I vote for their representatives in the next election? Why do I invest my money with them? You see, this topic is stirring up sentiment. And because these circles have no interest in noble aliens coming and ruining their lucrative game, the game of control, manipulation and power, aliens have to be ugly and frightening in the Hollywood style. So frightening that the average consumer, and that seems to be the majority of the population, has no interest in getting to the bottom of such issues. But the question of where such contact would take place, if at all, raises problems. If anyone has contact with aliens, then it must of course be the superpower USA. It would be a disgrace if the visitors sought contact elsewhere. That would not be consistent with the worldview that is suggested to the rest of the world every day. The world must be interested in America and not the other way around. Just think of the billions that NASA has already squandered, whether on satellites or on the SETI program. It would be embarrassing if the aliens showed no interest in this nonsense. And so aliens must also act accordingly, because what moves the world happens in America. It would be presumptuous if visitors from space would land somewhere completely different and find interest in a different population group, perhaps even in a country that is totally frowned upon by the rest of the planet's peoples. But that is exactly what happened and has happened repeatedly. Yes, our book turns this false world on its head. It did not happen in America, but in Germany, it was not the NASA researcher or the government who was paid to do it who made contact, but an industrial mechanic. And not with slimy monsters, but with tall, slender, beautiful creatures who have another impudence and do not play by the rules, they speak German. And finally, they even have something to say, but not what the US government or Hollywood might expect. In our case, it is a helpful group of people who live in another solar system and are worried about the people on Earth. due to the fact that they themselves have experienced and lived through similar things in their past, they understand very well the difficulty of the situation, namely the entanglement in the third dimension, the entanglement in matter. And they want to help us in the desolation of the current world situation, atheistic, messed up and decadent, in short, no longer functioning and on the verge of collapse. But who are the beings who are visiting us here? You will find out on the following pages. But be prepared for the fact that these extraterrestrials could possibly say and do something that does not correspond to your current worldview or the remaining school wisdom. And it probably does not fit into what some people in modern German call political or genetic correctness. Before we get started, we, the people who will have their say in the following chapters, would like to tell you what our real intention is in passing this book and the experiences described in it onto you. Chapters that were not written by me have been marked with the name of the author. We do not want to alarm you, but rather to enrich life in a meaningful way with these, in some cases, completely new aspects and thereby provide a further impulse for the current earthly frequency increase and the accompanying expansion of consciousness. All help, including for this book, was provided to us in a miraculous way. With each passing day, we were confirmed anew that everything that we humans are looking for and need for existence is really in us, that we create our own future with our thoughts and actions. Deep within us is the unshakable belief that earthly humanity will soon recognize this and, as a result, know for itself which path to take in the future. Our thoughts, our ideas and our feelings come from within, they arise from a deeper level, they simply arise and we know. That is one truth among many. There are many small truths that are constructed like a large puzzle. And many puzzle pieces together make up the overall picture. We have one another another. When we recognize that, we come ever closer to the truth. Now we have found another piece with this book, and we will certainly find more if we continue to work consciously on ourselves and as a result learn to understand life even more deeply. Perhaps there is a piece among the information published here that fits into your life puzzle. Maybe even several. And it was our concern, despite the threats and unpleasantness that had already been made against us, to provide this information, because it is intended for everyone, concerns everyone and is possibly also connected to it in some way. But with all the search for information and knowledge, we should not lose sight of tolerance and patience with our neighbors, because learning to understand, to be lenient and to be patient is far more important than excessive, complex knowledge. The problem on Earth is not the lack of free energy, the final key to the origins of Homo sapiens or the secret of alchemy. The problem is that most of us today are no longer able to live love, to practice it and to treat our neighbors accordingly. If we understand this form of love, then we understand life, then we understand what many refer to as God and experience the meaning of all creation for ourselves. Sooner or later, we will all succeed in being like Christ in our actions, because this, love in action, is our inheritance and our task. There is no way around it. It is probably a long way to get there, but practice makes perfect. Despite our experiences, it happens to us all the time, again that we judge and condemn, but we learn, keep learning, or in modern German, learning by doing. If we had already achieved Christ consciousness, that is, were able to meet our neighbors as Jesus did, we would probably not be here on Earth, the planet of difficult to educate souls. We are all here to learn from ourselves and from others, as well as from the beings from the cosmos who can help us like older brothers, the Feistals, whose reports we now want to devote our attention to. Are only at the beginning of a long journey and have only just begun to consciously cooperate with these brothers and friends of ours from another world. They are completely natural people, torn from the middle of life, and so their statements are simple and honest. But they wrote from the heart. Perhaps that is also the reason why they are the ones who have the contact. So follow your heart and not your intellect, because it can only process what it already knows. Follow your instincts and have the courage to feel what comes up inside you. It may be your own primal knowledge that you get back. We can then confirm this to you with the utmost Chapter 1, How It All Began, told by Raina. My childhood was actually happy and content, apart from my fears, which crept up on me every night and didn't leave me until I was 12. At night I had the feeling that there was someone or something in the room, and sleeping without light was therefore unthinkable for me.